Welcome to the first episode of Made of Fail podcast.
Premiere!
This Yay! Is our first time doing this, so please excuse us if it sucks.
It's gonna hiss.
We're still playing with the sound settings. We don't really have a decent intro either, so...
All half of our listener just kind of, like, they missed out on the fun part of us spending about 2 hours coming up with the sound settings and playing with technology that we don't know how to play with and then buying stuff at Walgreens.
Well, we also don't want to, like, blow out their eardrums with that hiss, so we had to get it at least to a manageable level.
Yeah, killing the listeners, not something we want to do until at least episode 15.
Yeah.
All right, we should probably say why the show exists.
Why does the show exist?
You called me.
Well, yeah, but you're the one who said, okay, that's a good idea.
You know, and that's going to end up on my gravestone.
It really, really is. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
It did.
Well, I was at work and bored one day, and I was like, you know...
Should we mention who we are?
Well, I'll let them figure it out. All right, I'm Kevin.
I am Dana.
And together, we are Wild Stallions.
We should find a guitar riff and edit that in later.
Okay.
Or just say that we're going to and then not do it, and then we'll just sound all low-tech.
That is a lot more likely. So I was bored one day at work, and I texted Dana saying, hey... We should do an internet radio show and or podcast.
Which didn't sound ominous at all.
And she was like, why? And at which time I said, have you heard us talk together? We're very entertaining, or at least we think we are very entertaining. And that's really all that matters, because, I mean,
what matters is that you believe that.
What matters is that I believe that. And the fact of the matter is, this is a free thing. And it really doesn't make any difference if anybody actually listens to us.
Yes, it does.
Well, it's not like we're going to get paid anything.
This is true.
Yes. But
so we are entertaining and buying Walgreens recording equipment for you, our listener.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Mom.
Anyway, but so this is episode one.
Basically,
the non-sucky version.
Yeah, basically. Well, I never promised that. We never promised content either. But
yeah,
the general thrust of this podcast is going to focus, since nobody just wants to listen to us talk for the whole time. We decided we ought to focus on mass media nerd culture sort of things. You know, movies.
Sometimes.
Various media, television shows, anything that people like us, a.k.a. massive geeks, would have some sort of interest in. So we do have a LiveJournal community set up. We will post that in our show notes, which we probably ought to give the URL to so they can get there.
Well, if they're listening to us, they probably have some sort of URL to get there anyway, so...
Yeah, no one's going to just stumble on us.
Well, not until it
starts. Or dig us, or delicious us, or... Okay, that's
not
stupid.
Until our the iTunes thing works out. And I'm working on it. I think we have to have a couple episodes for them to actually recognize us as a podcast.
I wouldn't recognize us as a podcast.
What would you recognize us as?
I don't know, but I've seen you somewhere before.
All right. I just have that kind of a face.
Better recognize.
Don't ever do that
I'm
again.
Too white.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what our show's about.
Sometimes.
Occasionally.
Other times it's just the two of us just, you know, entertaining ourselves because, again, not only do we not get paid for this, we don't have to pay for it. So it's just us,
because we can.
Yes.
Because
and by yes, I mean no.
Well, we can. We have the technology. We've rebuilt it.
Many times, in fact.
Yeah, we're going to end up talking mostly in movie quotes and TV quotes because we don't actually have anything to talk about ourselves.
Well, our three listeners at this point, which...
Bored
hey,
as hell.
Well, our three listeners at this
Let's
point...
Let's alienate them all. Let's fail before we even have a chance to fail.
And well, you that's know, what we're made of.
Do you know what the cap on my Jones Soda says?
What does the cap on your
you
Jones
You are
soda?
Mentally alert. Put your mind to good use. That's good advice. I'm going to take advice from Jones. And
keeping up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses. Let's just head on into our first segment, which is going to be a recurring segment called Why Stuff Is Awesome.
Why is stuff awesome, Dana?
Because I said so, and because you touch yourself at night.
That is a
very
lie.
Very first thing we want to talk about is a movie from Japan called The Machine Girl.
Now, let me tell you, the very first time that I saw anything about this, I was... here hanging out at Dana's apartment, and she was like, hey, check this out on the internet. And there was this trailer that she showed me, which looked like the cheesiest, most awesome Japanese action martial arts, whatever the hell that was.
I think the whole Japan genre of movie is what the hell is this?
It's the whole Japan genre of anything.
That's all Japan.
It's Nihonga, but the trailer was so incredibly awesome that at the end of it, they had to put the words, yes, this is real.
And then I found out when it was coming out in the good old US of A, which was earlier this month, in June.
So it is available for Region 1 DVD
if
anybody
is.
Wants to purchase it,
we
which
are going,
I highly recommend.
Absolutely. We are going to link it. We're going to link you to the trailer, and we're going to link you straight to Amazon so you can buy it. Although I think it's temporarily out of stock on
temporarily
Amazon.
Temporarily out of stock means that they're going to be getting it back in stock pretty soon.
I'm kind of impressed that it is temporarily out of stock, because that just means that either they ordered two copies and I was the only other one who bought one, and... Or it could have just sold out.
Well, it could have sold out, but if they get enough requests for it, they're going to refill it really, really quickly anyway. So.
Anyway, so Machine Girl, it's directed by Noboru Iguchi, and it stars actually a couple of Japanese ex-soft porn stars.
And you can tell because they have absolutely no acting ability.
No,
whatsoever.
That's... Well, just the girl who plays Yoshii. I went on IMDb to try to find out what exactly they were in. But they don't list... They'll list the actresses, but they won't list who they played, other than, like, maybe the two or three main characters.
So you'd have to really dig into that and get it to...
One of them, I believe, Asami, who plays... I ended up just calling her Butch Mechanic Woman.
The Butch
Miki.
Mechanic... Mickey.
Miki. That's right.
Hey, Miki.
You're
so
fine.
So fine.
Shut up, Kevin. So, she was in Oira Sukeban, which is a Sukeban boy. Which I'll get to in a minute, because that's hysterical in its own right. Machine Girl, basic plot. Okay. So, girl lives with her brother, normal high school girl. The brother and his friend are in debt, which is never explained how, but they're in debt to Yakuza Ninja.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
I do.
Oh.
Anyway, so they obviously can't come up with the money, so they get, gang beaten, because it's Japan, and killed. So... Ami, the main character, finds out that her brother's been killed. And
who's not only a huge basketball star, but, since everybody in Japan knows martial arts, is just this big...
The trailer says normal high school girl, but she can hold her own against a ninja, like,
and
fighting off
like
shuriken with a kitchen knife.
And, like,
it's
a
fantastic.
Whole bunch of middle-aged men who tried to pull her into their van.
Well, it's not Japanese without a rape scene.
Yeah.
You'd just be glad they weren't all tentacly. But anyway, so
oh
she
God,
so she goes after so she goes
that.
After the I let me finish. She goes after the Ninja Yakuza boss's son. It's a little bit complicated, but not too bad. She goes after the son, and just as she's ready to kill him, obviously fails. The super boss, the kid's dad or whatever, chops off her arm, and nobody in Japan ever dies of blood loss. I want you to understand this right now, because every time I saw anybody get even the slightest nick from anything, the blood just explodes like
Black
diet
Knight from Monty Python.
Diet Coke and Mentos is more what I want to say right now.
Do, 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 do,
don't ever do that again, Kevin. So anyway, so she manages to escape, and she goes to her brother's friend's parents' house, and they outfit her. They train her in some ninja ways.
They're mechanics.
Yeah, Butch Mechanic Woman.
They're
fantastic.
Mechanics who know martial arts and also know how to make
machine gun arms.
Yes.
So they outfit her with this machine gun arm, and Butch Mechanic Woman and Machine Girl end up going on a quest to kill the Kimuras, the Ninja Yakuza family, and everything is just so... the plot doesn't even sound all that original or great. What's great about the Machine Girl is that it is so... It's the delivery. It is so incredibly over-the-top violent that it's hysterical.
It's the reason movies such as Big Trouble in Little China are so incredibly awesome is because they're so over the top and so horrible that they're just incredibly awesome.
You can't possibly take them seriously at all.
It's like it goes
and you're not supposed to
the realm of the worst thing you've ever seen and comes out the other side into the most awesome thing you've ever seen, and oh my god, you have to see that again.
Kind of like the digestive system for movies, except maybe not. Maybe
no,
I should just not talk.
That's your digestive system.
Oh, sorry. Oh boy, our listeners want to hear that.
Oh.
Sorry, Mom. You know, but getting back to the actor Asami, who plays Miki. Mm-hmm. She was in Oira Sukeban, like I mentioned earlier. It is a... God, my dad's going to end up listening to this at some point, and I shouldn't know about these things.
It
is a softcore Japanese adult video, which I haven't seen all the way through yet. The basic plot is that there's a boy who's a real tough fighter guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he's been blessed or cursed, depending on how you look at it, with the looks of the most beautiful, you know, pop star looking girl in all of Japan. So
how could you tell?
Just trust me.
Okay.
Anyway, well, that's what the blurb said. So
well,
anyway.
I mean, that's
I trust blurbs. I'm not gonna listen to you.
All right.
Trust the blurb.
That's
Kevin.
The thing about Japan is that.
Well, I never said I trusted Japan, but I love Japan.
All
right. So
your funeral.
Anyway, so. This poor, tough, brawler kind of Street Fighter kid. He looks like this gorgeous, hot chick. So what does his dad decide to do to keep his son from getting beat up? Enrolls him in an all-girls school. Needless to say, it...
Wackiness ensues.
Wackiness and naked wackiness also ensue.
Well, it is apparently a porn film.
I have... Well, it's softcore. It's not like it's, you know...
Oh, so it would be, like, shown on Cinemax at, like, late at night.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Cinemaxul. I'll never do that again.
Please don't.
All right.
We just offended the entire Japanese demographic of
Yay!
Our show. Do we have a Japanese demographic of our show?
I could probably get Akimi to listen to this.
We have now offended Akimi.
Oh, man. I forgot how to say forgive me in Japanese.
I'm
under
find
pressure.
Out very quickly.
No, at 3 in the morning. I'm going to need to, aren't I?
You're going to need to.
I'm going to need to learn. I am so sorry.
I
had
to listen
no
to this. I'm actually interested to find out what she thinks of it.
Well, her English isn't perfect yet.
Well,
but,
she's learning. And
she's learning. She's gonna
The best way to learn English is to listen to pop culture stuff or the closest semblance thereof, which would be us.
All right. So, anyway.
Akimi, if you're listening, do not copy my vocal patterns. This is horrible, horrible grammar.
Yeah, you said you wanted to talk about, you know, how Americans speak. Don't speak like Kevin.
Yeah. In fact, don't speak like Americans. American is not English. It's...
Yeah, it is. It's really
bastardized. It.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway. Wow, we've alienated Japan and... Now we're out of people to alienate. You want to alienate the French next?
Zut alors.
Je suis mort. You know, it's funny. You called me and you're all like, hey, let's do a podcast. I was worried about ripping off my friend Bruce, who, his podcast is also a bunch of random crap.
Erraticast.
But Erraticast. Yes, that is, it's broadcast out of Portland right
Check
now.
Check it out. It's really, really awesome.
It's funny. We love Bruce. He tried to help us out about an hour ago with just getting the stuff set up and basically told us that we needed $1 million worth of actual equipment rather than buying stuff at Walgreens.
Yeah, but what fun is that?
But anyway, I was so worried because, the thing about Bruce, he's one of those really, really super creative people.
Uh-huh.
And
if you've ever been on YouTube and looked up the series called... History is awesome.
Yes.
Which we will link later.
He goes by the broadcast name of Will Raddick. So, but I
don't
call him
know
Bruce.
Why.
His name is William Bruce. I don't want to mention his last name in case he gets death threats.
Okay.
But so when he was up here in Illinois, he went by Bruce, and then he moved to San Francisco, decided that Bruce was too gay a name for San Francisco, and decided to go by Will.
There are
exactly.
no words. There, no.
So, but anyway, so Bruce,
he's the one who
got me into amateur photography because I was just so inspired,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I like to think that I'm doing pretty well with that.
I've got some really, really good stuff.
I got a pretty good eye. I just don't have enough, you know, I need a better camera. But what I was worried about with the podcast was like, well, I've been a fan of Eradicast for so long, I didn't want to end up ripping Eradicast off. But then I figured, well, first of all, we don't really have content. And second, I figure as long as I don't end up reading the entirety of Wikipedia out loud, you know, there's no way I can be accused of plagiarism.
Yeah, I mean, there's no link right up above your head that says cite this source.
Citation needed.
Citation needed. This Dana is a stub.
At least we have a semblance of direction. But we love Bruce, we love Eradicast, and we are going to link it in our show notes. Okay. I should probably mention where that is. It is http://community.livejournal.com/made_of_fail_pc. Because Made of Fail was already taken.
We will be linking these in our respective live journals. Mm-hmm. And if you have downloaded us through iTunes, first off, why?
Because I like iTunes.
And secondly, there should be some sort of link in the show info, which there isn't at this moment, but as soon as this is posted, I'm going to go and
upload. Kevin will fix it!
Failed before we began.
Yeah, it was fantastic. He screwed up all kinds of links before we even started. But when you get to the LiveJournal community, you do not actually need a LiveJournal account to comment.
Nope.
You just can't post new topics unless you're us.
Also, because this is a just a normal
thing. But everything's screened, so don't go giving us death threats or telling us you want to have sex with us or nothing.
Well, you could post that. It just won't be visible because we're not going to let it be.
I'm telling your girlfriend.
Regardless. Because this is just a normal feed, anybody who knows how to do this can access this through any sort of RSS aggregator, any kind of...
We go through FeedBurner mostly. I'll link to that, too.
Yeah, that's...
I should probably read it out loud, actually, except I don't really know the address offhand.
Well, give me just...
Well, you know what? If they're listening, they already know how they got here.
Exactly.
So why are we even doing this? Because I just woke up about 2 hours ago and didn't even think about that.
Apparently.
It's okay. Okay, so forget it. Dana does not know how to think. Podcasting, you're doing it wrong.
Flavor, do you have it?
We're in your brains, cast in your pods.
Ew.
Move on to gaming news?
If you wish.
Gaming news.
Gaming news.
Since it's nerd-related stuff and we are trying to have some semblance of content, even though it's not in our contracts, Square Enix fans, which as listeners
all
tend
two of
to
our
ag-
listeners are.
All two of our hosts are. I personally am a huge Square Enix fan.
Like more than anything else. I was talking to Jillian about this last night actually. Mm-hmm. That you love Square Enix even more than you love Buffy.
This is true.
It's
kind of
hard
a shame
to beat Dana's love of the Joss Whedon
canon, if you will.
The
Jossverse. I like Jossverse. It's more alliteration.
Jossverse.
Anyway, so I just wanted to inform our listeners, if they don't already know, because it's slightly old news, but what the hell. Final Fantasy IV is being released for the DS.
This is a complete remake with 3D graphics and
voice acting.
And I've heard... And new cutscenes and everything. We've seen little clips of it at the Distant Worlds concert that we went to.
Yes, and it looks fantastic.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely beautiful. It's done by the same team who did Final Fantasy III for the DS, so you got all those nice little 3D sprites, those zoom-ins on when you cast magic. I already have Final Fantasy IV for the Game Boy Advance.
As do I.
Which is really a great port because it's a little bit harder than the Super Nintendo version.
Well, actually, what it was, I looked this up, this is actually a direct port from the Japanese version because they made it easy mode when they ported it to America.
Yeah, yeah, because we Americans can't be trusted to figure out puzzles.
They also, it's basically a direct port with some bug fixes. They added
redid
a couple
the script.
Extras.
They retranslated the script. They left Spoony Bard in,
they
thank God.
They left Spoony Bard and the other things that were just the fan favorites of the
English. They would have rioted.
It's a classic at this point.
All right, anyway. So, but what they did for Game Boy was they added a whole bunch of new dungeons for those of us like myself who have played the Super Nintendo version and beaten it about upteen million times.
And
so we don't get
a music player.
Bestiary is really good. I've actually been looking this up. I don't know if the new dungeons are going to be in the DS version.
I can ask my friend Tessa, who is a huge
I've been looking
fan.
It up on Eyes on Final Fantasy.
Okay.
EyesOnFF.com.
Actually, Tessa, you're probably listening to this right now, so just tell me next time you
see me. I feel like a pop-up. Congratulations, you've been selected to win 2 free iPod Nanos. I'm sorry. Are you going to hit me?
Yes.
There's a cat right over there. Why don't you just get the cat trebuchet?
Ugh, no feline trebuchet.
No feline
Can we just move on, please?
Anyway, the new content that is going to be on the Final Fantasy IV DS version is a new... not quite a job system, but what you can do is, for example, Palom and Porom normally have an attack called Twin, where they cast Flare or Comet.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is you can set that ability to another pair like Rydia and Rosa.
Really?
So they can do like a twin attack. And I haven't actually seen some of the gameplay or the mechanics of the gameplay yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that sounds like a really, really good idea to me.
Just extra customization.
Extra customization.
Huge way to get more and
yes,
more fans.
Because I have Final Fantasy IV on Super Nintendo cartridge. I have it on an emulator. I have it on the Game Boy Advance. And I still want the DS version. I know it doesn't make too much sense to keep paying for new updates and upgrades. But
it's an entirely new game, apparently.
It's really not. I mean, it's still the same.
It's the same game.
It's same damn story.
Effectively
you know.
A new game. It's new gameplay, new everything.
As long
it's
as they,
the same
apparently they tweaked the active time battle bar a little bit, just so it's a little bit fairer. It's not going to be so slow, like it used to crawl.
Even when you had it on the fast setting.
When you had it on the fast setting, so it is going to be worth it for old school fans of Final Fantasy IV.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have the Game Boy Advance version, I would still recommend picking this one up just because of the customizable battle system. Just to see how... voice acting, the new cutscenes. The music is going to be a little bit synthesized, but it mostly orchestrated.
Really?
So it's going to sound absolutely gorgeous.
Final Fantasy IV has some really, really good music.
The music from Final Fantasy is worth just getting the game alone just for that upgrade.
The entire reason we went to the Distant Worlds concert.
Which was... fantastic.
Which I got completely mocked by my parents and my little sister for going. Like, oh, you're going to see some video game music. My dad was like, are they going to play Donkey Kong there?
Oh, and Jesus. But it was gorgeous, though. I have the CD from Distant Worlds, which you can also find on Amazon.
Yes.
And they did
from the Stockholm concert. They only performed 2 concerts in the entire world. One in Stockholm
and one
in Chicago.
Hell yeah, Midwest.
Yep.
Anyway. But what they did, at the show they did the opera from
the
Final
opera
Fantasy
Maria
VI.
Idreco.
Were you just trying out Italian and failing?
Yes.
Okay, don't do that. Anyway, it was gorgeous.
They had three actual opera singers.
Oh my
on
god!
On stage, singing.
It was
thing about
so
the
beautiful.
The Distant Worlds concert is that they had videos from the games that they were doing. While the orchestra and the choir on stage,
they
were
did the
performing.
Same thing when I saw Dear Friends in 2005.
Well,
but
that's the best way to do it.
But it was a lot better edited this time. They had
a lot better edited when they did.
They had
Don't
more
be afraid.
They
that
had more
hilarious.
Footage too.
Yeah,
they did, and it was a lot better edited. And Nobuo Uematsu was actually there.
We saw him.
We saw him.
Not in person,
and they
but we
told
saw
us
him
to get the hell away
up.
From the line.
Well, that was the line to go see him, which
yeah.
we weren't actually near the line because of that. We were in the line because that
we're
was
also poor
right next
because
to the
we
bathroom.
Don't charge for our podcasts.
Well, it was the line going to the bathroom, and
mm-hmm.
while we were there, we were pointing out to each other the different
the cosplayers.
And there
oh,
was one
Adia.
For Adia that Dana
from
couldn't
Final
find,
Fantasy VIII.
And I was pushing her.
I still never
her.
Saw it.
Amazing. If for some reason the person who was the really amazing Adia listens to this podcast, first off, why? second off, if you were there,
you know,
email
the point
us.
Is to attract new listeners and not to alienate them all. until episode 15.
Yeah, when we have like 10 listeners, we can afford to lose a couple.
Mom and dad.
Yeah.
I think my sisters might listen to it. Anyway,
when are these going to be released?
Whenever we feel like it.
No, I mean, what, the game?
Oh.
Final Fantasy IV for
4DS is coming out July 22nd. You can pre-order it on Amazon for $39.99 right now.
Excellent.
Which is what I'm definitely going to do. Also, this is a really good quarter for Square Enix because one of my personal favorite games for the Nintendo, I never had the cartridge. So I'm saying this like as a recent convert to this game. I downloaded an emulator and I played Dragon Warrior 4.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably one of the biggest RPGs I have ever seen for the 8-bit Nintendo. It's huge. It comes in chapters, basically.
Uh-huh.
It's your basic hero saves the world kind of plotline.
Well, just Dragon Quest always.
But the whole point is that it starts out with one character. Like, you'll start out as a knight at a castle, and you've got, like, your own personal quest. And then when you're done with that, it's going to move on to Chapter 2, and you're going to be... You know, either, I forgot who the second guy was, but it's going to be, you know, like a merchant trying to get money for something. And these are all, basically, it tells the story of all the sidekicks before you get to the hero in Chapter 5, which is really, really neat. So, you know, you're going to have backstory for all these people. And
really
they all kind of dovetail into each other.
I'm gonna have to
it's gigantic. I read somewhere that it was the biggest game ever released for the 8-bit Nintendo. Because this came out fairly late, like right around, I guess...
Like a year or so before the Super Nintendo came
out? I think it actually came out right around the same year as the Super Nintendo.
So
I'd have to look it up.
One of the last...
It was definitely
Nintendo
the
games.
Last great RPG for the NES, I will tell you that much. And it came out...
It probably got overlooked because the Super Nintendo hood was just coming out.
You know what? Yeah, that's probably what killed it, to be honest with you. But it's finally... It got
a Kirby Adventure for the Super Nintendo.
It got a DS remake over. And from what I've seen, it's going to cover both the screens in the map area.
Okay.
So it's huge.
Got it.
It is going to have cutscenes. They're keeping... You know, pretty much everything they can to make it feel like an old school RPG,
right.
Which is great because I really, really love those.
Good.
And it's not going to be super complicated. And I don't know the mechanics yet, but I think you're going to be able to not necessarily need the stylus to play it, because I only just recently got a DS and I'm really horrible with all these newfangled technologies, and I'm still having problems with the stylus. Adding machines. Bah, I had an abacus when I was...
colored chalk and your Nev
Campbell's and listening to the No Doubt. Stop ripping off
Mystery
Science Theater. Sodium! But Dragon Quest IV is coming out September 16th. I'd pre-order that one, too, because of the fact that it's just such an epic
support
RPG.
Support this game, support this company.
It has been so overlooked.
Yes.
Because it came out so late that not a lot of people had it.
You know what else was an overlooked game?
Yo.
Golden Sun.
You know, I read recently, there's been a lot of...
They've been talking, I mean, the fans have been talking about them making a third game for a...
They're talking about the fact that they're coming out with a lot of fakes on the web. I will guarantee you right now, I have looked up every single fake that I have seen. They are all fakes. If you see any kind of Golden Sun 3 on the web right now, it is not
Camelot,
real.
Camelot has all but said that they're not making a new one. They haven't actually said that they're not making a new one, but
they said that they want to. I just read an interview from April.
They've also said that they wanted to for like a long time.
I think Camelot and Nintendo just parted ways, actually, though, so we don't know who's going to get the Golden Sun license. I know that Isaac is available in Super Smash Bros. Brawl as an assist trophy.
As a trophy, yes.
But I don't know if that means Nintendo has the license to Golden Sun characters or if that was used via Camelot.
Well, here's the thing, because there are still Rare, the company Rare that did the Star Fox series.
Also famous for Donkey Kong Country.
Also famous for Donkey Kong Country. Also famous for Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Never heard of that one.
Oh, look it up when you have the chance.
I don't think I want to.
It's... Anyway, Rare parted ways with Nintendo, and Microsoft bought them. That's they were developing Perfect Dark for the Xbox, mm-hmm. Which was another Rare property. But the Star Fox characters stayed with Nintendo because they've always been in the Super Smash Brothers line. Nintendo's since made further Star Fox games without Rare, so they've acquired the characters. So there is a chance that the Golden Sun property is going to remain with Nintendo.
Okay.
This would be a very excellent thing for us to research and then talk about.
I was looking it up a lot the other day, uh-huh. and everything that I found is that Camelot's only got one developer team. They are still... They're an RPG company is what they're calling themselves, and
yes.
they're developing all kinds of RPGs. They're not saying yes or no to Golden Sun. They are saying that they haven't even gotten around to discussing it yet. So if the fans do see it, it's not even like been written or in development yet.
Golden Sun has just that much more of an importance to the two of us because that's how we met. Actually, was I made a post.
Who makes friends on the internet? You damn
seriously.
People.
I made a post to the LiveJournal community, Customers Suck, which is an excellent community for anybody who works in retail or anybody who likes retail.
Anybody who just works. Anyone who deals with customers.
Even if you don't deal with customers, anybody, you could just get a kick out of this. It's
I'm so feminine.
A place for people who work in retail or other customer service positions to go and rant about really, really bad experiences that they've had. And I've made a few posts there about... customers that I've experienced in working at my mother's soccer store. And I had a Golden Sun icon theme for most of mine were of the character Felix, who I identify with the most just because of a few different things I'm not going to get into now. And there's this one poster who replied to my post and then followed me back to my live journal and said, "Hey,
I like your icon!"
And friended me and has since plagued me with just a complete inane babble and wit. And
in case you don't know who he's talking about, it's me.
Yes.
Because you were being real subtle there, Kev.
I am a master of subtlety.
Subtle like a nuke.
Yes. It's a shot you only have to fire once.
Oh, God. Have you seen the Hulk?
I have not, but I have heard.
I heard really good reviews of it, and I really don't want to see it.
Everybody I know who is not only a huge Marvel fan, but absolutely hated the last movie directed by Ang Lee.
You wouldn't like it when it's Ang Lee. Are you going to hit me?
Good night, Dana.
I'm get punched.
Everybody who has seen this has said that this is exponentially better than it, and there's been a lot of discrepancy before the movie came out. Is this a remake? Is this a sequel?
Well, it's like when you're talking about Evil Dead 1 and 2.
Yeah, it's a complete relaunch of the Incredible Hulk franchise.
Well, Marvel's really good at pretending continuity didn't happen. Brand new day.
Thank you, Joe Quesada.
Hey, no problem. Joe Fisto. That sounds like a He-Man character, actually. Joe Fisto. Dan Didio Skella. I'm going to stop now.
Please.
As you were.
I lost my train of thought.
Choo choo.
Anyway, no, it's
a relaunch.
It's a complete relaunch. It's pretending that the last movie did not happen. Lou Ferrigno.
I think the fans like pretending the first movie didn't happen.
Everybody likes pretending the first movie didn't happen.
Despite
Jennifer Connelly. And Liv Tyler is definitely not Jennifer Connelly.
Nah, but she's not exactly hard on the eyes either, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, but her acting in this movie, everybody says that's the bad part of it.
Really?
Everybody said that
she's usually so good.
Her acting in this movie, everybody said. And now, keep in mind that
is it the acting
Dana
or did she just get a bad
seen
script?
This movie yet, so we're just going off of complete hearsay.
Or possibly heresy.
Possibly heresy. Inquisitor brand coffee. 9 out of 10 heretics agree. It burns.
And they never expect it.
Yes. nobody expects the,
I don't want to see the Hulk.
Okay.
You know why? Because I...
Dana, don't see it if you don't want to see it. Everybody who's listening out here,
I can't argue
see
with
movie.
You if you don't want to argue with me back. No. You are impossible to fight with. You know, for two people who live on the internet, we sure suck at starting flame wars.
That's because we just sit back and watch them happen.
And you know what you should do? Go to a goth board and say, like, oh, Marilyn Manson's the best goth band ever, and watch what happens. Watch the collective stroke.
Okay, I'm not that much of a sadist, and I definitely do not want them to hunt me down and kill me.
It would be funny.
For you.
All right.
Okay, but yes, Incredible Hulk, complete relaunch. Lou Ferrigno, actually, not only did have the same little cameo that he did in the last movie where he just walks past as a security guard talking to Stan Lee, but he also, in this movie, voices the Hulk when, you know, obviously when he's hulked out.
For reals?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Seriously,
Carl's going to love that.
He voices the Incredible Hulk.
My husband's going to love that. He's such a huge fan of the original show.
It was pretty awesome. It was very awesome.
See, I don't understand why I don't really like the Hulk because I understand why I don't.
It's kind of a very simple franchise.
Well, I never liked Iron Man. I couldn't stand Iron Man, especially considering
I don't like Iron Man, and I loved the movie, and the movie was really well.
I know,
did you
especially
know,
hold on,
enough,
hey,
okay,
I was rude much, mm-hmm. but I've never really been so much of a Marvel fan as I was a DC fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one strike already. Secondly, since I did actually make the mistake of reading all of Civil War, I didn't like Tony Stark.
Nobody really likes Tony Stark. He's very political extremist and a drunk. And who better to play him on screen than Robert Downey Jr., a womanizing drunk?
Well,
he's the perfect
casting
Tony Stark.
Casting
in Iron Man was
perfect.
Absolutely astounding.
Perfect.
And interestingly enough, at the end of The Incredible Hulk...
Spoiler warning, noob! Okay, go ahead.
It's been reported on in the newspapers and the generic reviews. It's not really a spoiler warning. Robert Downey Jr. has a cameo as Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man.
But he doesn't... He's not in Iron Man gear, apparently.
No, but he is Tony Stark.
But the thing about Iron Man is that I never liked him. I never related to anything he did, but I loved the movie.
Here's the thing.
So now I'm wondering right now if I'm making a mistake by not seeing the Hulk, because I've never liked the Hulk. Yeah. Peter David aside, because I love Peter David, and he wrote, you know, the Hulk for years and years and years, got awards on it.
Uh-huh.
And, but the character of the Hulk always seemed like kind of a cross between Quasimodo and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And
really
I can't figure out what to do with him. I don't know how they made it through 500 plus issues.
It's because
I mean, how do you make
do
him fresh?
Well, they add Febreze.
You're such a son of a bitch.
You're just mad because you didn't think of it first.
Well, it seems to me that over the years they've done like one of a few different themes with the Hulk is either, you know, you get just Hulk Smash, which, you know, everybody loves. That's old school.
Or he regains
his intelligence
while he's hulked out.
Right. So you've got either Smart Hulk or Smashy Hulk, or you play with Tragic Hulk.
And here's one of the best things to come out of the Hulk franchise, She-Hulk Attorney at Law.
She-Hulk is great.
She is,
well,
yes.
She's always been different from the Hulk anyway. I mean,
well,
not necessarily. When she started out in Savage She-Hulk, she was basically, she was like, imagine if Bruce Banner, you know, kept his brain in the Hulk, and that was She-Hulk, where she still got, you know, you wouldn't like her when she's angry, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I have read the first issue of Savage She-Hulk a lot. My dad had a whole bunch of comics in his basement, and I used to read them all the time. And it just seemed like they were trying to differentiate her from her cousin as much as possible, not only with the boobage, but just the fact that she used her intellect just as much as her smashy abilities,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was great. But then in the same vein, then they're like, well, what makes her unique after we give Bruce Banner his brain into the Hulk, and then she's just seemed kind of superfluous, and that's when they started doing the whole, like, okay, she's a fourth wall Deadpool kind of character.
Yeah, and in one of the more relatively recent story arcs, they actually had, in the law office that she worked in during this arc, I'm not entirely certain if she still works there.
Now, don't tell me this, because I downloaded all the torrents for She-Hulk, and I keep meaning to read it. Peter David's on it right now, and I kind of don't want to know what happens.
No, all I'm saying is an extension of the whole fourth wall thing. In the lobby of this law office, they have a comic book store, because this law office is a law office that both prosecutes and defends superheroes when they get sued. One of She-Hulk's, blanking on her name at the moment, Jennifer, one of Jen's co-workers is a big Marvel Comics fan, and he talks about the no prize rule.
Oh my god,
not
that's
only
fantastic.
Does he talk about...
Does he get a no prize?
No, but he talks about the no prize rule with a couple of teenagers that are in there, because they're trying to find... They're going through the back issues of She-Hulk to try and give her tips on how to defeat her current enemy. I'm dead serious about
I've
this,
I've got
by the way.
To get into this series.
It's amazingly
I
awesome.
I have them all. I haven't read them all.
It's
I'm a pirate.
It's like Booster Gold for Marvel.
Booster Gold isn't really fourth wall. He's more of just the humorous kind of guy, although they're trying to get away from that right now and make him more of a, you know, he's really important. He's not the buffoon that you always... Well, he's still a buffoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that he's doing really important work for the entire DCU, and nobody can know about
him.
It. No, nobody can know
Nobody's
about it.
Nobody's allowed to. Okay.
Yeah. Which is you got to pick up that series. Okay. It's really good.
But anyway, not only is he talking to these teenagers about the no prize rule because they're digging through issues to try and find out how she can defeat her new enemy, and they're complaining because there's a continuity error there.
In Marvel?
But
so
not only
they
that,
do it on purpose.
He berates them for saying, oh, we're just going to wait for the trades. I shouldn't have said that right after you took a swig of soda.
I shouldn't be drinking something carbonated on air anyway.
They can probably hear that.
It's okay.
Anyway, She-Hulk, pick it up when you can. Hey, Dana.
Hey, Kevin.
I would like to talk to you about robot vacuums. Everybody here has seen those advertisements for the Roombas or similar... you've probably walked past the kiosks in the mall. They're not new technology.
Everybody walks past the kiosks.
Yeah, but they've been around for a while. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal last week. It was actually on June 11th.
Yeah, it'd be nice to listen to you talking instead of me just spouting off all my crap. I'm going to sit here with my soda and love on it.
There's an article in the Wall Street Journal on June 11th, and I'll link to this article in the production notes when we post this title of this, called When Dogs and Robots Collide, Somebody Needs a Talking To. Online advice, wag your finger at the vacuum and say, bad Roomba.
You know, I said we weren't going to be reading Wikipedia out loud on the air just so we don't rip
it's
off
different.
Eradicast.
We're talking about a news report. And
so now we're just going to read off news reports.
Not necessarily. This is one that really caught my eye.
It's the sincerest form of flattery, Bruce.
I really... this caught my eye, and I really just had to share
it. Did it give your eye back? Eventually?
Eventually.
Oh, bastards held hostage.
Anyway, the article reads, to keep the peace at home, Keith Hearn had to scold his new robot vacuum cleaner. The trouble started when Mr. Hearn first turned on his Roomba automatic cleaner. When the device started scooting around... Do you really not want me to just read the article? I can just tell you the gist of it.
Gist is fine. Reading is fine.
They can read it on their own. We'll link it. Anyway, the gist of this article, basically, pets don't understand the robot vacuums. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to react to it. In fact, you can go on...
That's YouTube, any vacuum.
But especially the ones that move by themselves. The little things, because they're the same size as the pets. sometimes even smaller.
They should make Roombas shaped like cats and really confuse the shit out of them. No, that would be pretty...
I'd have to clean that up.
Yeah, I can just see the Roomba just turning on you and just ending up... Well, but hey, they'd be self-cleaning Roombas. They'd just be licking their own asses.
We're the classiest radio show ever.
We put the ass in classy.
Anyway, just this article, basically, because pets don't know how to react to the Roombas or similar robotic vacuums there. They don't know what it is, they don't know how to deal with it. And you can go on YouTube right now and look for example, a video titled Puppy versus Robot, Epic Battle for Territorial Domination. There are people who videotape their pets freaking out about the robotic vacuums.
Some people don't have social lives.
Yes.
We're two of them.
But studies have actually shown, and this is actually documented, that if you scold the Roomba in front of the pet then treats it as just another pet of the house. It is like, oh, well, I guess the humans just treat it just like us. We shouldn't have to worry about it.
So would I be launching?
Works.
So next time you piss me off, can I launch the the Roomba cannon at you? I wonder if that's covered in the warranty.
Probably not.
Defects and launching at Kevin.
Anyway, this article is going to be read at WallStreetJournal.com. I will be linking this in the production notes.
Linky, linky. I'm coming to the end of my caffeine. You want to sign off? We can do the Jack Thompson story next episode.
Well, now that you kind of teased our listener about it...
But it makes them want to come back for more.
Or they can, you know, just get tired of waiting for our next episode and go look it up themselves.
You know what? Let's just save it, man.
Save it for the next time.
Save it for the next time. We don't want to go on for like an hour anyway.
We're already hitting the 47-minute mark. Classic.
I am the most ladylike person in the entire world. All right, so good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Mom. I really appreciate it.
In the first episode of Made of Fail.
Made of Fail. We don't need content.
Take care. See ya.